that Kettle Creek Archery Camp undertake the activities to laid out below here. One, following a flow schedule, identify and maintain late spring summer flows in Kettle Creek to maintain rearing habitat in 5 pools downstream of Parker Creek diversion. They're not going after a use permit or an incidental take permit or a safe harbor agreement from NOAA, where they're giving up a water right. They have a decreed water right, which they have a right to exercise, period. Yes, we have a curtailment in order right now. And I don't know who's enforcing that. I guess the State Water Board enforcement staff is up here running around doing spot checks. So for NOAA wishing to put that onus on the county via the use permit on this property owner, I don't know that we need to be going there doing that. We're stepping into somebody's legal water rights here, and I don't know we should be doing that. Number two here, mark, photograph, and assess all riffles, pools, features along the 3,520-foot Kidder Creek to the point of annual disconnection. And looking on, where did I just put it? On the map here, it doesn't look like to me that Kidder Creek owns a whole lot of river frontage where they can go out there and go doing that on somebody else's private property. We don't have any authority to put that in a use permit that forces these people to go onto somebody else's property to start doing habitat hunting. We're not going there doing that. Number three, identify habitat elements that are deficient of each riffle and pool feature along this reach, i.e. channel structure, woody debris, shade cover, pool vegetation, complexity, pool depth, on and on and on. I've had UC Davis Stream Research on my property for the last 5 years doing exactly this. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars to have those staff people do that. The staff people stay at my place every 2 weeks just to bring down the cost to do that. There's some awfully unreasonable things here being asked that I can't go along with. Record baseline measurements and relevant riffle and pool characteristics, including salmonid occupancy, treat riffle and pool habitats, and monitor those features post-treatment. What does that mean? They gotta go out there and then start creating all this habitat in Kidder Creek? On somebody else's property. This is the same thing of why the ITP 1600 program 20 years ago fell apart, because the agencies were making a whole lot of demands on private landowners to do all these things for a whole benefit of a whole bunch of other diverters that didn't own any river frontage. We can't go putting demands on a project proponent to go carry out work, again, on somebody else's property where they have no right to do that. That's just totally unreasonable. While all the four activities are ongoing, undertake an assessment to determine the most economical way to increase both water efficiency and water storage retention along Kidder Creek and adjacent to the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp. Wow. Water use efficiency. Hey, we did one of those with David's Engineering on my ranch for 3 years. $650,000 study to do that. And that led to a whole bunch of other things. I don't know where this entity is ever going to come up with the money to do something like that. Granted, my piece of property is a whole lot bigger, but still, that's a substantial cost, and to what benefit? It's like we were asking the world of Kidder Creek Orchard Camp of what NOAA is asking to do here, that we put into this document, and I can't go along with that at all. I just don't quite grasp that.
What year was this?
This was in September 4th, 2019. Should be in your original document.
Yeah. Is that? Did something happen over in the valley with the Scott River because of this?
Related to the Parker Ditch, there was a legal matter between Noah.
Yes.
And the Jenners.
Is that the guy with the...
I am not going into detail.
Okay. I just thank you for the clarity, because as it turned out, they were okay as I resolved it, and I'm guessing. Thank you.
Okay, so back to here in, this would be the second paragraph of Noah's letter here. It talks about the court determined the county government, the political subdivision of the state, have a responsibility to consider public trust in the issuance of well permits. Since domestic wells are exempt, how are we supposed to consider public trust in issuing those permits? And you guys have been, the county's been taking the task about public trust and ag wells in Scott Valley, but not domestic wells, correct?
Correct. There's definition involved, all right? So how we have determined through the Board of Supervisors and resolution is production well and a non-production well. The non-production well is basically exempt. It utilizes less than 2 acre-feet per year.
Uh-huh.
Anything that uses more than 2 acre-feet per year is a production well. In the case of Kidder Creek Orchard Camp, it's in the middle of that zone, essentially.
All right, so then in Scott Valley Area Plan, when it was adopted, there were designated areas throughout the valley where development can take place. On those lots, and people can come in and make them smaller or whatever. So we really don't have a threshold established in the Scott Valley Area Plan as to how many domestic wells can go down. Yes? No?
All right. You got a legal parcel?
If it's a legal parcel, they can put down a domestic well.
That's a true statement.
Yes.
Okay, so back to the allegation from one here that we're causing a federal take and a state take of the species. I don't see the evidence to back that up, since that's exempt under the Groundwater Sustainability Act. The county doesn't have the jurisdiction to stop that. You don't have a moratorium on domestic wells, you do on production wells. So I just see our hands tied with that rationale.
Yeah, and I'll just to add, having participated for several years, going to the meetings that the Scott Valley GSA, GSP, add the rest of the acronyms for the groundwater management, that plan revolves around production wells for ag. And ag production, period. It does not address or identify measures or projects as it was submitted to the state for potential curtailment regulation of domestic wells, residential.
But as of right now, Scott Plan and Shasta Plan are still sitting on the state board desk for acceptance or brought back for more deliberations.
Correct. But the guidance, the guidelines, the direction, correct me if I'm wrong, staff, basically from the state on the GSPs, essentially was don't look at residential wells or water use. You're looking at industrial and ag use. And for Scott Valley, the quote unquote interconnected relationship.
Didn't the state a few years back want to charge production wells for irrigation for, didn't they not try to do that?
Not in Siskiyou County.
No, I talked to statewide.
That's up to the local GSP.
Yep.
That's local?
That's, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's to pay for
get
the
back to that question I asked you. It had something to do with the weir. And the state came in and adjusted the weir on this guy's property and then accused him of doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. If I remember right. This has to do with water, is why I brought it up.
Well, if I could maybe, in the hopes of providing some clarification.
Thank you.
Commissioner Mills, is at one time, I think this was before I retired from Department of Water Resources, State Water Resources Control Board was looking at putting a fee on domestic, or, excuse me, agricultural production and municipal production, large production wells, to fund groundwater management activities and their work. And they were looking for some funding mechanism. All right. Now, one of the things that I think the last time I was before this commission, I told you that I had an agreement with one of the DWR lawyers is that I wouldn't practice water law if he didn't practice geology. I wish the biologists would have that same agreement with me because they practice groundwater interactions. Now, hold on.
Right.
Okay. And I don't practice biology. All right. So what occurs is not all groundwater systems are the same. And you, as farmers, you understand that. All right. I would say 80% of biologists do not understand that. All right. So even in Scott Valley, you have where the Scott River, the main stem of the Scott River, you have an area where the state board came in and adjudicated an area around, and they said any pumping in this area is taking surface water. All right, that's a pretty good line. There, you know, all those kind of boundaries need to be constantly evaluated as more data becomes familiar. But you know, this what's in the river and what's in the groundwater basin. When you're down by the main stem of the Scott River, the groundwater basin is full right up next to the river. So any pumping that occurs adjacent to the river is going to take more water out of the, any pumping in the groundwater basin is going to take more water out of the river. Okay, you increase the gradient flow away from the river. Right, so that's why there's this concern when the flows are at a certain level. And like I was explaining up in Kidder Creek, my studies left a lot of room for questioning whether that model really worked. And Commissioner Hart, you know, over in Shasta Valley, if you tried to say, okay, we got the Scott Valley and Shasta Valley, they're so close together, they're identical groundwater systems, and they are not. They are, Shasta Valley is much more complex than Scott, all right? And so you can't just lump them together. And that's what in a lot of the rules and regulations, they're just lumping things together. Now, when I first started this evaluation, there was a gentleman from the USGS back in 2013 by the name of Barlow who put together a report, and it's on groundwater surface water interactions. And it was heavily quoted by people who were making comments on this project and stuff. So when I went into this, I read through Barlow's report from beginning to end, and I wish I had that report when I was trying to do evaluations during the 94 drought water bank. It would have made my life a lot easier. But anyway, the point is that Barlow, the conclusion of his studies and all the things that he looked at is basically if you have a well that produces less than 1,400 gallons per minute and is further away than a quarter mile from the river body, the water body, whether it be a river or a creek or a lake, it doesn't have any real impact. It's, you want to have a yellow flag on it to say, hey, you need to evaluate it, but you don't put a red flag on it that says this is definitely going to take water out of it. And those are two numbers, is if a well is within a quarter mile of a water body, and if it produces more than 1,400 gallons per minute. And that's from a nationwide evaluation of different areas. All right. Now, one of the things that I, as I was going through this analysis, is because one of the things that caught my eye is when I was looking at what the UCD model said, and they said, well, we're not counting the domestic wells. And I'm like, huh? And I said, okay. And so then as I went through the analysis, and then I started thinking about what happens up here in Scott Valley, because you have a shallow water table, okay, and I mentioned this before, I think, is that you pump water out of the ground to provide a domestic supply. And if you're not using any of that for outside watering, and Kidder Creek, they use their surface water for outside watering, is that all the water that isn't consumptively used goes down the drain into the septic tank and it percolates into the ground. And when you have a water table that's within 10, 20 feet of the surface, it's getting back into the water, that drainage water, back into that water table in a very short period of time, in months, and definitely within a year, okay? But it filters through 100 feet or more of material and gets, okay. So what you end up with is I have this in my report, if you're doing 26 gallons per minute, 90% of that is back into the groundwater supply. So you're actually really only taking 3 gallons per minute of consumptive use out of the groundwater system by a domestic well. So all of a sudden, light's going on. Now, thinking about my own well down in Red Bluff, I'm on 7 acres just to the west of the airport. I'm up on a little terrace. The water table is 100, it's down to 120 feet. Water that I pump that goes through my house into the septic system never reaches the water table. It heads out and it starts moving laterally, and there's a spring on my neighbor's property across the road, and it comes out of the bluff. And he was very upset when I told him. I said, "Well, you're getting the water from my septic tank." Yeah, he didn't care for that too much.
So this water that's a quarter mile from the water source, the creek, it doesn't affect the creek, right? The well does.
That's what Barlow's. Okay, yeah.
But it would affect the water basin, would it not?
Well, yeah, you're taking water out. But what happens is that it
it may not affect the surface water or the creek, but it does.
Exactly.
Eventually it's
going to
affect.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what your point is, the unique situation between Kidder and a good portion of Scott Valley. I can tell you, on my ranch, if this is the water level of the river,
right,
the groundwater is actually higher,
sure, okay,
than the river,
yeah,
on my place,
yes,
by almost 6 feet.
Yeah.
And so you have this interaction, different materials. But what your point is with the Kidder Creek watershed being somewhat lower, that migration,
yeah,
is minimal,
right,
which the residential wells will have minimus impact to stream flow.
Right. So what you end up doing is in a case like Kidder Creek, is with the groundwater table below the creek level, is you are not, by pumping, you're not inducing flow from Kidder Creek. Whereas in your situation,
it takes pressure.
That's all. The groundwater system just all works by pressure.
Yeah. That's right. Where when we suck, we may be lowering it down, but we don't end up having an impact on the river unless we drop below.
Well,
then we may be taking from the stream flow, but even last year, we still remained 3 feet above the lower elevation of the river.
Well, and in your situation, what you're doing is you're capturing the flow that's flowing to the stream before it gets there. So, in essence, that's, years ago I used to think, as long as you have positive flow towards the groundwater basin, and a lot of my work was in the Sacramento Valley, and the upper part of the Sacramento Valley down to into Colusa County, the Sacramento River acts as a drain. It is draining the groundwater system. So,
which is what Scott River's doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And so as long as you maintain that flow, you are feeding the river system. Well, if you start getting at the river or below, even before you start capturing is the term they use, the water. Well, if there's plenty of water going around, it's okay. So one of the things I did a calculation on, because I had the data, is how much water is flowing down the subsurface beneath Kidder Creek, okay? And it was like 180 gallons per minute. And it's, you know, for that's the width of the channel, or the whole valley, if you will, where all the gravels are. But that there's that much water, and it's kind of like, okay, so if I'm taking 3 gallons a minute and I'm pumping out of that, what is that going to do to the downstream users? And I just defy anybody to measure 3 gallons a minute when you've got a flow of 180 gallons per minute. That's, you can only do that with computer calculations. So anyway, I don't know if that helps, but it's a big difference. So
they're trying to make the fair argument that the proper analysis hasn't been made, and this one domestic well is going to have this huge impact on adverse fisheries in Kidder Creek. They haven't demonstrated that to me in a fair argument. They've made the accusation or the
I was waiting as I worked through this. And I put together, and I used conservative values, you know, just from the standpoint, as you heard about the occupancy. Okay, I used the maximum occupancy rate of 26 gallons per minute because I wanted the greatest impact. And what they've done is consistent with everything I've heard from people who work on EIRs, is you take the maximum impact and you work with that. So that's what I was doing. And when I got down to calculating where were these, when you turn on your pump, and you get this cone of depression, how far out does that go? And in my report, there's these little circles. They don't come near the pools. They don't come near neighbors. They don't come near the river or the creek. I mean, it's just kind of like, okay, there isn't an impact. And so that's, so anyway, as I was putting out the report, as I was looking for people that would come back with data that I didn't know about, or even concepts, and say, "Well, this wasn't looked at," and all I saw were comments, you know, statements, suspicions. I didn't pick up one piece of data from the people that submitted comments that I could use to improve my analysis or rebuke it.
Well, that's what I'm looking for, and I haven't seen that presented here anywhere.
Yeah.
Other than these are our statements, this is what we believe is going on, but there's no evidence been presented to back that position up.
Right.
And then you go back to the Scott Valley Area Plan, which is very specific about what can happen on various areas of the valley. And because it's designated as AG1 soil.
Uh-huh.
It's AG1 soil because of the water.
Mm-hmm.
You take the water away from it, it then becomes AG2. Then it can be cut up. That means more domestic wells go down. So do you die because of production wells, or do you die because of 1,000 or 1,000,000 pinpricks?
Okay, one of the lessons I learned early on, I got a call from not Siskiyou County, but it was a county to the south. And they called me up and they said, "Hey, Glenn, can you get a domestic well in this area?" And they identified the area. And I said, "Well, let me go check the records real quick." And I went back and I looked. I came back and I said, "Yeah, not a problem. You might have to go 200-300 feet, but, you know, it was up in the foothills." And the next thing I know, I'm getting phone calls and they said, "Are you the Glenn Pearson who said that you could get a well for a 450 lot subdivision on 1 acre parcels?" And I said, what? So the aspect of if you divvied up the whole valley and put in, you know, small acreages and domestic wells, you would be back in the same problem of some sort. Anyway, I thought I'd throw out that anecdote just as a...
Are you still on the NOAA letter?
No, go ahead.
So I'm piggybacking off Commissioner Hart. The letter we received today, and counsel, correct me if I'm wrong, but the comment here on, let's see here, where was it? I think it was on E. Yes, saying that we ignored NIMP's direction to coordinate with the GSA. I feel fairly confident in saying that is a mute issue, in so much as the GSA, one, does not have jurisdiction in this area because they are not ag or industrial wells. Very little of Kidder Creek is even included in the GSP that was submitted, for the very reason that they're residential domestic. And I personally know that NOAA has been trying to find a way to get a foothold in Scott Valley for years, and their attempt through this project to gain access and cause action to be taken on neighboring property through this property is disingenuous at best.
Right, and we can only really speak to what's on the subject properties that are before us directly.
Correct.
And to the extent that apparently we're only talking about domestic wells, if any, to be developed, A, the effect is just described as, well, first of all, non-significant, it appears in the first place. But second, that as domestic wells, they are, as Mr. Dean stated, not under direct permitting or jurisdiction at this time. Of the GSA.
And just for clarification, in item E of this letter from this morning, second paragraph of E, beginning statement, the project is inconsistent with the existing NIMPS, NOAA, in-stream, and riparian habitat improvements project. Is there a project that I'm not aware of in this reach of Kidder Creek?
My reaction was going to be the same. I said, you know, just having seen this letter today, I'd have to go find out perhaps what this is in reference to.
Because I'm pretty well in tune of all of the riparian projects occurring in Scott Valley. And I have never even seen one water-related. I've seen some upland fuel management-type projects that the Watershed Council has been doing, but I'm not familiar of any proposed projects, let alone funded projects, in Kidder Creek in this area that NOAA would be involved in.
That's the problem from my perspective.
Okay.
I think it's wise to let everybody know that we've analyzed Mrs. Burch's letter very carefully.
Yeah. Well, I was just continuing on Commissioner Hart's line of discussion, that what is being asked for here is not within our purview.
Right. I'm just saying that let nobody say we did not.
Correct. We did our due diligence.
Right.
Yes.
You can bring the same argument up with a fire protection plan. because there was a comment made earlier before lunch about where's the evacuation plan for 300 other residents around there. How is this project supposed to go analyze the whole neighborhood? It's all analogous. They're the same issue here, just a different subject matter.
Through the chair, if I may, just a little background with the NOAA letter and also another letter that we received. That is what prompted us to proceed with the groundwater study. And at the time, we weren't this far down the road, so we were just fresh out of a lawsuit from ELTH regarding the public trust doctrine issues. And there was no distinction between agriculture or domestic world at that time. Okay, since then, it's come down the pipe that essentially domestic water wells, as I mentioned with the parameters of use, is de minimis. Based on the governor's order and other issues. So we're addressing NOAA's concerns, is what I'm leading to here.
So back to this public trust issue. There are certain groups, I would have to say, that have hijacked public trust as to mean only water and fish, period. The public trust doctrine case that dealt with Owens Valley and Mono Lake was brought by Audubon against the California Department of Fish and Game at that time over shorebirds, not fish. Every protected species, both state and federal, have public trust doctrine protection. So if we're going to go down that road, what other public trust species that aren't being analyzed on that property that may be there and may not be? That analysis has not been done to my knowledge or satisfaction. That maybe there are species there that are dependent on that water right being on that property because it is creating habitat for those species, i.e. yellow-legged frogs, western pond turtles, willow flycatcher, on and on and on and on. And that has to be done over a period of time with a whole lot of monitoring. I know that firsthand because I've been doing it myself personally on our own ranch. So if we're going to go down this road of public trust and looking at only one species of concern and its habitat and the water that provides that habitat, then we have to look at all of it. We can't just zero in on one. And I find that kind of disingenuous from these groups who are saying that. They're using that as a tool to get to where they want to get. Exactly. And ignore the rest of it.
Okay, my next question, we're jumping to another portion of the documents.